In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is among us. Where are my children? Come closer. You know what you have to do. In today's Gospel, we heard the Lord telling the people who got together on a mount to listen to Him. And telling also us, after 2,000 years, telling us that whoever breaks one of the least of His commandments and teaches man so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever breaks or relaxes one of the commandments and then teaches other people to do so. He does it first, and then he teaches other people to do like him or like her. Now, I want to ask you, did it ever happen to you that you did something that was not quite right, or maybe something that was not good in itself at all? Or somebody else around you was doing something that was not good and then told you, come do it with me. Let's have some fun together. Let's do this. Come and do it with me. Did that happen to you?
Yes.
Do you know that we have a name for that? How do we call it? Do you know? Peer pressure. Have you heard of peer pressure? When your peers put pressure on you to do what they do, which is not good. So many times, you know, people don't put pressure on us to do something good. The church does a lot of that. Sometimes too much of it. But many people try to put pressure on us to do something that's not good, but they do it. Or sometimes we are the ones who do something that is not good, and we want the people around us to do what we do. Now, what do you think? Why is this happening? Why we or somebody else wants to, or somebody else, let's say, you know, why would we put pressure on somebody else to do something evil that we are doing? What do you think? Why is that? Why? Have you ever thought, why, when I do something that is not quite right, I also want somebody around me to do the same thing? What do you think? Why? Maybe because we are not humble enough to understand that, you know what? What I'm doing is not good anyway. If I do it and I can't stop doing it, at least I should keep it for myself. I should not make somebody else also do it.
So sometimes, like, you don't want to listen to your parents and you say to your sister or your brother, let's not do this, let's do something else.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, let's do it.
Yeah, that's an example of peer pressure. When your parents tell you to do something and you don't want to do it, and you also tell your siblings, let's not do this now, we'll do it later. Let's not listen to mom and dad. That's peer pressure. Now, why do we do that? Why would we tell our siblings, I don't feel like doing like what mom or dad, you know, told me to do, so I also want you not to do it. Why do we do this?
Because we don't want to listen and we want more playtime instead of doing the right thing and we're doing the wrong thing.
Yes, because we want more time, and so many times, you know, alone you can't have too much fun alone. You need some other people, you know, to do whatever we are doing. But how could we avoid this peer pressure? When somebody comes to us and tells us, you know, let's do this, you know, let's, I don't know, can you give me an example of another, yeah?
By saying no.
Hmm?
No, or saying no, I can.
By saying no to them, very good.
Or
but,
say,
yes?
Or saying, I can play later, but now I have to do my homework.
Very good, by standing up.
Or asking your parents
first, asking somebody, if you are not quite sure if that specific thing is good or not, ask somebody else who might know, is it okay to do this or not? Or, but is it easy to say no? Because, you know, even if we say no, even if we have the strength to say no, do they give up?
No.
At the first no? Usually, do they give up at the first no?
After a minute, they'll come again. Yeah. Are you done? Can we play? And we're like, no, I'm still not done.
And then what do we do in that situation? Because that happens, you know, so many times, you know, it's peer pressure. They really put pressure on you. And even if you say no, they still come after you. And then what do we do then? Hmm? Do you know what I have in my hand? Hmm? A lighter. What's the lighter doing?
Puts fire.
I need a volunteer now. Okay. Huh. No, Yavisa. She raised her hand first. Come, Yavisa. Okay. Hold your hand like that. Right. Okay. Why are you doing that?
Hmm?
It's hot. Really? Really hot? Burns you? That's what you are called to do. Do you stay close to the fire to burn you?
Yeah.
You run away. That's what we are called to do. When we see that somebody is coming, you know, with a fire of temptation to burn us, and we tell that person, stop it. Don't do it. Don't do that to me. No, I don't want to do that with you. And he or she doesn't stop. Run away. Don't stay there. Don't stay around that person. That's what St. Paul tells us today in the epistle reading. No, he says, reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition. Do you know what an admonition is? When you tell somebody, no, stop doing that, don't do that, I don't want to be part of this. So you tell him once or her, you tell him or her twice, if he or she doesn't stop it, reject such a person. Go away from such a person. Don't stay close to the fire until you get burned. Just go away. So, let us try to keep this in mind, because peer pressure happens. Let us first of all try not to be a temptation for the people around us. What do we do? What are we called to do when we realize that we are doing something that is not good? Should we spread it around us? Should we try to make other people to do it? No. We should tell ourselves, Lord, help me to stop doing this, and please really help me not to make somebody else do what I'm doing and I know it's not good. And what do we do when somebody else tries to make us to make us do something evil? What do?
Say no.
We say no, and then?
Get away.
Go away. Don't stay around such a person, because sooner or later, they will burn you. And this is not, you know, another thing that I want to tell you. Don't judge such a person. Pray for such a person. Okay? And we run away, not because this person is bad. I don't know. Just because we know that we are not strong enough to be around this person because right now this person is trying to tell us.
So if,
okay? What do you have to do to be around fire? Hmm? The firemen, what do they put on before they go, you know, to put out the fire?
Hmm?
They put on their gear, their fire protective gear. No? If we don't have a fire protective gear, we should not stay close to fire. If we feel that, you know, I'm not strong enough to be around this person, I don't have the gear to protect me, just go away. And then maybe, you know, get stronger, pray, put on the protective gear, and then tell that person what you are doing is not good. I can be around you, I'm not afraid to be around you, and please, I want to help you to stop doing this because what you're doing is not good. Okay? That's another level. But first of all, protect yourself and then get stronger and deal with a person who is trying to do something bad. Okay? Thank you very much. Christ is among us. This peer pressure, beloved faithful, happens not only at a personal level, but so many times, you know, at a societal level. So many times, you know, pressure is put on the church to lower the standards. Especially in the Orthodox Church is many times accused of not lowering the standard to the requirements of the society. Why does not the Orthodox Church, you know, just tell the people, you know, that it is okay, do whatever you want to do, and God loves you anyway. Yeah, God loves us anyway. That is very true. But if we love somebody, from what we know about love, if we love somebody, and we see somebody doing something that is hurting that person, don't we tell that person, what you're doing to yourself is not good? Is it loving to just allow that person and to tell that person, just keep on doing what you're doing, it doesn't matter? Of course it matters. That's not loving. That's not loving to allow somebody to persist in his or her wrongdoing. Because that will lead that person to death. That's why in the Orthodox Church, we don't believe in lowering the standard, because the Lord is very clear. In today's gospel, he said, whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches man so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. When I read this passage yesterday, you know, preparing my sermon, you know, it is so interesting how you read it over and over again so many times, and then all of a sudden you see something new. Yesterday, when I read this passage again, what really struck me was this order. Whoever, therefore, breaks and then teaches. Because that's the case, that's always the case. People who break, or the Greek word in the New Testament for this is luo, to loose. Not really to break, just to relax. To relax, to loosen up a little bit the commandment, and then teaches somebody else. It happens because that person breaks or loosens up the commandment for himself or herself firstly, and then he or she wants the people around him or her to do the same thing. If we don't rise at the standard, at the ideal that God gave us, we say, we can be here. And then people start teaching this around them. Now, I think this happens also because, and we have, you know, we have to look out at ourselves, and we have to ask ourselves, was the church loving enough all the time? Was the church loving the people as they were and accepting them as they were and telling them, we love you as you are, but you are called to to work together with God to be transformed more and more into the likeness of God. That's what Christ did. That's the attitude that he had. And that's the attitude that we are called to have. Unfortunately, so many times in the history of the church, we didn't have that attitude. We expected everybody who walked into the church to be a saint, a holy person. The church is not a club for holy people. The church is a spiritual hospital. The Lord said, the righteous, you know, that the healthy don't need a doctor. The sick people need a doctor. And he gave us, you know, the example of the parable of the prodigal, of the good Samaritan who took the wounded man into the inn. The inn stands for the church. That's what the church is. A spiritual hospital. And all of us are sick. But all of us are called to work together with God and to become healthier and healthier. When we get a physical sickness, we don't say, whatever. I got, pneumonia, cancer, you name it. It's okay. Things happen. We don't see that. We go to the doctor. We want to get better. It's the same in our spiritual life. It doesn't mean that if we are sick, we have to stay there. It doesn't mean that if somebody else is sick, we should judge the person, oh, you are so sick. Thank you very much, I know. That's why I came to the church, to get better. So, I think that's why churches started to lower the standard. That's not the solution. That's not the solution. Because God created us in His image to become His likeness. If we tell the people anything else, we lie. And we are not fair and loving. And people really need to hear that they could become the likeness of God. Some people, are blown away when they hear this teaching of the Orthodox Church, that they are called to become the likeness of God. Who? Me? Yes, you. But I'm such a sinful person. So what? I am too. But together, by supporting each other, by loving each other, we become like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And together, we help each other on the way to salvation. The solution is not to lower the standard. The solution is to love and accept each other as we are and to become more and more like God. It's very interesting that the Lord had these words as an introduction to His Sermon on the Mount. Because on the Sermon on the Mount, He seemed like loosening up things for the Jews. In fact, he didn't. And he told them from the very beginning, I did not come, do not think that I came to destroy the Lord, the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Because in the Sermon on the Mount, he spoke about how we are called to have a relationship with God. How we are called to fast, how we are called to pray, how we are called to give alms, and not to make these tools ends in themselves. And that's why he told the people, don't think that I came to destroy, I came to fulfill, to give you the real spirit of these tools that God has given you to become one with Him. And that's what we are also called to do in the Orthodox Church. We are called to ask ourselves, how are we called to have a relationship with God? Why do we fast? Why do we pray? To get a meaning, to rediscover the meaning of our relationship with God. And in your Orthodox Church, if we have an issue, we have an issue with this. We do things without knowing why we are doing them. Grandma, why are we doing this? Because we are Greek. Or Romanian or Russian or whatever. It's not because of that. Everything has a meaning. And in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord tried to give the spirit of the law to the people. And that's what we are called to discover for ourselves. Not to lower the standard, not to lower the law of the Lord, but to try to understand, even to understand why I'm called to do this. How is this really giving life to me? Therefore, we are faithful. In our relationship with God, in our relationships with each other, let us love each other as we are. Talking about this, you know, like if we have children and we see that our child cannot get a straight A's, do you want our child to get only, oh, that's okay. From now on, I want my child to get only straight C's. Even if we know that our child is not there yet, we hope that one day he or she will get two straight A's. Even if now we accept our child, you know, we can love our child, you know, B's and C's and maybe B's and A's, we hope one day straight A's. That's what God hopes for us. And we should not lose hope for ourselves. Therefore, let us try to be like the Lord, who had so much love for anyone. He was accused of eating and drinking with sinners and tax collectors, because he went and indeed he ate and he drank with sinners and tax collectors, because he wanted to see how they are doing, but he didn't judge them. He went to Zacchaeus' house. And Zacchaeus really didn't expect this rabbi, this teacher of the law, to come into his house, because he knew that he was a sinful man. But Jesus knew what he put as God in Zacchaeus' heart. He saw the pearl within him, and that's what we are called to see in the people around us. If I were to summarize the attitude of the Lord towards the people, I will summarize it with a quote from of the German philosopher and poet Goethe, who used to say, if you treat a person as he is, he will remain how he is. But if you treat him as if he were what he ought to be and could be, he will become what he ought to be and could be. That's what the Lord always did. That's what the church is called to do. That's what each and every one of us is called to be, is called to do if we want to be the light of the world. As the Lord said in today's gospel, let us be the light of the world, not the judges of the world. Let us love the people around us as they are. And if they ask us, you know, what's your church thinking about this? What's your church perspective on this? Tell the people, our church loves everybody. And our church believes that everybody could become like God. Our church loves everybody, any single person, as he or she is. But we believe that by working together with God, any person could become like God. Amen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen.